Welcome to Earth Eats, a show of real food and green living. I'm Annie Corrigan.
And I'm Chef Daniel Orr.
As promised, we gave you tips for how to hunt for ramps, and now we're giving you some recipes for cooking them.
Having is just a small window to really gather a unique ingredient that you won't be able to get anywhere at its freshest, at its most prime throughout the rest of the year.
That's Chef Bob Atkins. He'll be with us again to talk about what these fleeting springtime treats taste like. Then we'll walk you through three ways to put ramps to work in your cooking. Pickle them, turn them into a pesto, and wrap them around cod. But first, here's Megan Meyer with a look at this week's news.
A final vote on the Food Safety Modernization Act by the Senate was delayed this week, but a group of small farmers and food producers have signed a letter to Congress supporting two amendments to the bill. These amendments would relieve smaller producers from certain record-keeping requirements that the bill would impose on large industrial producers. Ultimately, the signatories contend these exemptions would make it easier for consumers to buy locally grown foods. And a study released by the Institute of Medicine recommends strategies to help Americans reduce their sodium intake. According to the American Heart Association, the average American consumes more than twice the daily recommended intake of sodium. And 77% of sodium in the American diet comes from processed foods. The Food and Drug Administration has yet to make plans to impose limits on the amount of salt in processed food, but says they are reviewing these new findings. The issue of school lunch reform is enjoying a lot of public attention lately, and among those shedding light on school lunches is an elementary school teacher in the Midwest. To protect her job, she chooses to remain anonymous, going by an alias.
Mrs. Q, the anonymous teacher blogging about what my kids eat at school.
When Mrs. Q was making her New Year's resolutions, she committed to eating what her students eat every day in 2010. Then she founded the blog Fed Up with School Lunch. Each day, she posts photos and descriptions of what she ate.
I just came to the conclusion after I had, it was like a bagel dog at some point in the fall, and I just couldn't believe that that was given to a student. Then they would have to go back to class and take a math quiz or something.
Mrs. Q says that not all of the meals are bad. She especially likes the pasta with meat sauce, the chili, and the green beans. But she says that meals are no longer served up on a tray the way many adults remember getting their lunch as kids.
My food comes in very small little packages, and a lot of the blog commenters have pointed out that it looks like a TV dinner, and it's already in a prepackaged container with plastic on top.
The presentation is not an issue she chooses to dwell on. She's more concerned about the effect that eating so much processed food has on her students.
What I've noticed is that there are times when they serve something, and I notice how my students are in the afternoons, and I feel like I can almost draw a line between what they ate and how they're acting.
Mrs. Q seems to have a personal vendetta against a type of frozen fruit bar.
I call it an icy.
That she says is riddled with corn syrup. When the icies are served at lunch, she sees a lot of blank stares in the classroom as her students, she speculates, suffer from a collective sugar crash.
However, more recently, one of the fruit bars that was offered was 100% juice, and I was really happy to see that. So there was not any corn syrup in that.
Based on her experience so far, Mrs. Q would like to see some changes in how the school lunch system works.
First of all, it'd be great if we could have salad bars in every school. This probably isn't very popular with kids. I'd like to see pizza offered way less. I'd also like to see regulations tightened up so that a fruit bar is not considered a fruit. Let's give them real fruit. And the other thing is tater tots and fries count as a vegetable. That's not a veggie. It may be made of potato, but it's not a fresh vegetable.
Her blog has received a lot of positive feedback from parents, teachers, lunch ladies, and nutritionists. But
there are negative comments. What I do get are people saying, you're just eating lunches. What are you really doing? You're doing nothing. That doesn't matter at all.
Some students at her school don't have good food models at home, so Mrs. Q says that school lunch may be the most substantial meal they eat all day. When we're cutting budgets, she argues, we shouldn't cut funding that provides healthy food choices for the neediest kids.
it's just an investment. It's an absolute investment in children to provide them with food at school that is really, really good, nutritious food. And I personally think it's worth every penny.
And if she had just one piece of advice?
I guess what I would say is to encourage parents to go to their school and see if they can have a meal with their child at lunch.
You can follow Mrs. Q's journey on her blog at fedupwithschoollunch.blogspot.com and listen to a complete version of this interview on our website, eartheats.org. And follow our news updates all throughout the week on Twitter or our Facebook fan page. For Earth Eats, I'm Megan Meyer.
The weather is never predictable in early spring, and neither are the plants that thrive during this time of year. Ramps only pop up for a few weeks each year, usually mid-April through early May, when it's still cool at night, in the 60s and 70s during the day, and rainy. As temperatures get hotter, they bolt, go to seed, and then wait for next season. But according to Chef Bob Adkins, chef de cuisine at Farm Bloomington, they are worth all the trouble it can take to find them out in the wild.
They're a member of the onion family, the alliums, but they taste like some of the most pleasant garlic and onion flavor you could ever have, really. I wouldn't say they're mild, but they aren't as astringent, I think, as cultivated onions are. They're very useful, more so than a lot of members of the family, because the leaves are so tender. They can be pureed almost like basil for a pesto. They can be sautéed like spinach. They can even be eaten raw, small amounts tossed into salads to give an extra kick. And then as you move down, the maroon and the white parts are more for solely cooking, but you toss them with like scrambled eggs or home fries and bacon, something like that. And that's the way they eat them in West Virginia and the Virginia, the kind of Appalachian states, tossed with fried potatoes. And bacon along with some sweet peppers, stuff like that.
If you're interested in foraging for these little green gems, make sure you use all your senses on the hunt. You don't want to get fooled by a ramp's imposter.
Lily of the Valley is a plant that looks extremely like ramps, but Lily of the Valley is toxic to humans and should not be consumed. But the dead giveaway is the onion smell. If you find a plant that looks like this and it smells very strongly of onions, then it is a ramp. Lily of the Valley will not have a distinctive smell like that.
Adkins says a helpful tip for when you're foraging is that any plant that tastes like onions is not toxic to humans. Good to know. Adkins found this batch while on a fishing trip, and he discovered that he's not the only one who covets ramps.
I found these about a week and a half ago when I was out fishing on my own, and they were still pretty small. But I picked enough for myself to take home and eat that evening. And I'd been fishing for about an hour and a half beforehand, hadn't caught a fish. I started picking these, and immediately after I picked them, you touched the bait again, and I ended up catching like 8 or 10 more bass through that day.
Ramps, loved by people and fish alike, apparently. Listen to my complete conversation with Chef Bob Adkins and find out even more about foraging on our website, eartheats.org. And now, let's head to the kitchen. Oh, ramps.
So do you recognize these little guys?
These, did Chef Bob pick these?
Yes, these are ramps from Chef Bob's secret patch. The thing about ramps is it's a very fleeting season. You can find the flowering heads after they've kind of, you know, passed the edible stage. And you want to let those be, but burn that into your mind so next year in the spring you can go back and find them. There's only one foraged item that I would suggest that you pick clear, and that's the wild garlic mustard greens, which is very invasive. But with the ramps, always leave some, so next year there'll be another supply of them. We're going to do a pickled ramp, and then we're also going to do a ramp pesto. So what we've done is we've cut off these green tops, and I've put them in a nice pickling jar, and we're going to make a brine to pour over them, and then we can keep them in the refrigerator for, you know, 6 months, 8 months, a year, and you can utilize that vinegar for the flavor into vinaigrettes and sauces and things, and then you can also pull out the ramps and eat them like pickles, let's say with a cheese platter or with smoked meats, things like that. You can use them on lots of different things. You can also chop them up and put them in a sauce or sprinkle them on top of a roasted fish. So there's lots of ways you can use them. We're going to go over to the stove. I've got a pan on, and we're going to show you how to do a quick brine. All right, so I've got about 2 cups of vinegar.
Any type of vinegar here?
I'm using cider vinegar, but really whatever you want. If you have, you know, maybe some homemade tarragon vinegar, or you have some rice wine vinegar, you could go a little Asian with the rice wine vinegar. You may throw in some star anise if you wanted to. So, you know, just whatever direction you want to go. But basically, it's the acid that we're looking for. About 1.5 cups of granulated sugar and about 2 or 3 teaspoons of salt. And then I've got some spices. And today I've got some homegrown bay leaves that I keep in the house all winter and then take out and put in the garden in the summertime. And then I've got a little bit of cinnamon stick, some cloves, some crushed red pepper, and then some coriander and fennel seeds. Now, if you're really against sugar, you could use honey or agave syrup. What you're looking for is just to bring out that sweetness. So you could put maple syrup in this too, which would be another flavor. You have to be careful with a glass container when you put hot liquids in it that it won't crack. Just add a little vinegar at a time, and you're going to temper the glass, let it heat up slightly before adding a whole lot of the vinegar mixture. Okay, and you want to get all those spices and the bay leaves and cinnamon, everything down in there. Okay, we're going to seal this, and this is just a standard pickling jar, and you've got a beautiful batch of pickled ramps. Come back in 2 weeks, and I'll let you taste them.
You got it. You cut the leaves off. Why are we not pickling the leaves?
Well, the leaves would turn a kind of a dark, ugly color. So that's why we separate the bulbs and the greens, and we're going to make the pesto with the greens. So that's the next recipe. We've got everything for that right here. And you can see I've got the leaves here, which I've just blanched. And blanching is having a boiled salted water. And you drop your vegetables in it, you cook them to set the color, pull them out, and you plunge them into a ice bath, which stops the cooking, so you get the nice greens. And it partially tenderizes them, but will make it easier for the blender to chop them up. And this will make about 2 to 3 cups of pesto, and you can put that in small containers and then pull it out whenever you need to. They are kind of garlicky, but I like to add a couple cloves of regular garlic. Just to kind of intensify that, we're going to add a pinch of salt, a couple of flecks of crushed red pepper, and then I'm going to start adding the oil. I'll get a little in here to get started, maybe about 1/4 cup. And we've got a nice thick puree, which you can see here, and you can smell that. It's got a nice oniony, garlicky aroma to it. If you're going to freeze it, I'd freeze it just like that. But if you're going to use it right away, you can add cheese. Okay, we'll give it a little taste.
I love that garlic.
You know, it's kind of subtle and velvety in the beginning, and then it has that real garlic kick at the ends.
Now, you have the hot sauce here, not to tell you how to use your mojo, but I would love some hot sauce.
Yeah, well, I like to add a couple drops in. Again, it's to taste. This does have some habaneros in it, so I'm just going to add probably about 1 teaspoon.
Chef Bob Adkins has become our resident ramps expert, so I tracked him down to taste the finished product.
Oh, no expert.
You picked these.
I did pick these.
And so now we turned it into a pesto. What do you think?
It's fabulous. It's got a nice bite. It's rich. A lot of different flavors and textures. This would be excellent over a pasta with some grilled chicken or grilled shrimp. Perfect.
And this is 2 or 3 weeks after I spoke with you last when you forged those ramps. Did you find any more? Have you gone back?
I did. This is probably the last picking that we'll get. They've grown a little bit more, but their bulbs have also gotten bigger. More like onion bulbs than the straight stalks we had before, and they got a lot more flavor down in the whites of the bulbs. So these pickles that Chef made also were going to be really fabulous too.
If you haven't had enough ramps yet.
I have not had enough ramps yet.
Okay,
keep it coming.
We were going to be doing a roasted fish wrapped in ramps.
Whoa, okay. So obviously we're going to be using the leaves primarily.
Yes. Great recipe. Another way to use the fresh ramps. You take the greens, blanch them in hot boiling salted water, shock them in ice water, and then what we've done here is we've wrapped the ramps around little pieces of cod. And we're going to take them over and saute them. Okay, hot pan, cold oil. And you'll see that when we put these in, they're going to kind of puff up a little bit. The ramps will puff up as they cook.
Oh, they're popping and crackling. Get me out of this pan.
I think they like it. Okay, I'm going to turn down the heat a little bit and just let this cook through. Now, with any fish, you always want to buy the best, the freshest. It should smell sweetly of the sea. It should never smell fishy. And so that's what you're looking for when you buy fish. You know, you want it to, if you touch a piece of fish, you want it to bounce back. You want the flesh to bounce back. If it kind of leaves a fingerprint in it, that means that the proteins have started to deteriorate. And you don't want to overcook it. That's the biggest problem people have with cooking fish, is overcooking it. So you want it to be a little translucent in the center and more opaque on the outside.
Talk about frozen versus not frozen. If you're going to the grocery store, which would you pick?
It all depends. You know, you think of these great sushi restaurants with the, you know, the wonderful toro and the tuna and all that. Well, I would say 99% of that tuna has been frozen. And if you've ever seen the Tokyo Fish Market, you know, they're just sliding around these, you know, 400-pound fish that are rock solid frozen. They're frozen at sea. So they've captured the freshness by freezing it. And if it's, you know, kept at a real super low temperature, it's just as good or even better. And sometimes, you know, freezing it will kill some parasites that may be in fish. So in that case, frozen is better. But, you know, at your local, you know, big box store, I would probably buy the fresh, because then I can smell it, I can see it. All right, so we've got this ramp crusted cod, and I'm just going to present it on a plate. Okay, I've just drizzled a little bit of fresh lemon juice on top, and I always like to do that with any of my fish dishes. It just, you know, the citrus just kind of accentuates that wonderful briny sea flavor. Okay, and then I've got some of that ramp pesto we made, and that's all there is to it.
We found someone to taste the cod for us, a guy who really knows the ins and outs of the kitchen.
I am Matt Gehring. I'm the sous chef here in the mornings.
Matt, as it turns out, is one of the wonderful folks who gets all the ingredients ready for the recipes we cook here at Earth Eats, thanks to him.
That's my job, to make everything easy.
And this is cod with some ramps wrapped around it. What are you thinking?
I think it's very light. It's great. Not overcooked. Very nice spring flavors. The ramp pesto definitely adds a nice little bite to it right at the end.
Pickled, pestoed, and packaged. Three ways to prepare ramps. Print the recipes and see photos of the finished dishes on our website, eartheats.org. And we want to know how you cook ramps. Send us photos, recipes, or just tell us what you thought of this episode, eartheats@gmail.com. Special thanks to news correspondent Megan Meyer and all the other folks who helped make Earth Eats possible.
Andrew Olenoff, Laura Bolt, Emily Shelton, Eobon Binder, Adam Schweigert is our senior producer, and I'm Allison Bektesh. I take photos for the Earth Eats website, eartheats.org.
Support for Earth Eats comes from Blooming Foods Market and Deli. Information at bloomingfoods.coop. Earth Eats is a production of WFIU Public Media. Thanks for listening. I'm Chef Daniel Orr.
And I'm Annie Corrigan. See you next time.